Hi, I'm Lady Gia, Canadian Aid Country, on CJMQ 88.9 FM. Let's welcome this year's 2011 CCMA Guitarist of the Year winner, Mr. Jason Berry. Hey, Jason, how's it going?
Hey, Lady Gia, how's it going?
I'm doing pretty good. So I hear you've been pretty busy since the CCMAs, am I correct?
That's right, yeah, always busy.
And I hear that you're from New Brunswick, originally.
Originally, yes.
Now, could you tell us a little bit about yourself?
Where I grew up, you mean?
Yeah.
New Brunswick?
Yeah.
Well, I grew up in a little town called Derby Junction, New Brunswick, which is in the Miramichi area of New Brunswick.
Mm-hmm.
And went to school there, went all the way, you know, graduated high school, all the normal stuff, was accepted into university, and then I had an opportunity to play in a band with a guy named Charlie Major, and I took it. And I decided not to go to university that year, and I did that instead, and the rest is kind of history. Been kind of playing ever since and producing records and that kind of thing.
Okay, and I hear you have your own studio in Ontario.
I do. It's called Baritone Studios.
Mm-hmm.
It's in the Waterloo area.
Okay.
And, yeah, we've done quite a few records there now. We did Terry Clark's last two records and Aaron Lyons, Shane Yellowbird, and Jason Blaine, just to mention a few. I think Doc Walker recorded some of their record there as well, and people like that, some buddies of mine.
Gee whiz. And
yeah.
What's it like touring with Charlie Major?
Oh, it was awesome. You know, we don't tour that much anymore. Charlie's slowing it down a little bit. But it was a lot of fun. He's a really great man. He still comes and visits us, and we're almost like family now. He just, all of a sudden, he'll show up and just stay for the weekend. And, you know, it's great to have a great relationship. He's sort of the first experience I've had touring was with Charlie. And, you know, my first tour bus experiences and stuff. And there's a lot to learn. There's a lot of etiquette that need to learn, but he was super patient with me and taught me all the ins and outs with record companies and stuff. He's just really a great guy, so it was a really great experience.
Okay, and now, have you ever thought of being, like, up front and center, like the star of the group?
Yeah, you know, it's funny, I've been asked this before, and BMG had offered me a record deal shortly after I started with Charlie, I think about 4 years after, 5 years,
mm-hmm.
And I said no, because I just didn't want to be a lead singer, you know? I just didn't want to, I call it have a shelf life, because generally artists, unless they cross the borders and are allowed to sort of become mature artists, they tend to burn out after about a decade. You know, they have a lifespan of about a decade. And I always loved playing guitar and records and loved producing records. And, you know, as a kid, I always read the names on the albums as much as I read the artist names. And I thought, well, if I end up crossing that border as an artist, then those people that would hire me to produce and to play on the records and stuff wouldn't hire me anymore, because I'd be direct competition. So this way I continue to work for multiple decades, hopefully, as long as the quality of work stays up there, I should be in okay shape.
Okay, yeah, I would imagine. Now, you've worked with CMT. I've seen you a few times on different programs.
Mm-hmm.
What's it like working for a big station like that, like CMT and all that?
Yeah, it's a lot of fun. You know, it's a little bit stressful because you know yourself being in radio. There's always timelines and there's always, you know, pressure involved with getting things done on time and on budget. And, but I mean, it's a lot of fun. It's pretty exciting to see the shows that we're doing. Like I do a lot of the Dakota sessions and live and up front. And if you see those Christmas specials now and stuff, they allow me to be the music director and to record all these shows. And so I get to work with a lot of the higher-end acts. Like, I get to meet them all. And so, but again, it's a lot of pressure. But it's a lot of fun. It's nice to see it when it finally airs. You kind of go, wow, that's pretty neat. And there it is. And you get to watch it for the hour and go, wow, there it is.
Hmm. And you just recently toured with Derek Rutan, Dean Brody, Aaron Lyons.
That's right. Yeah, we did a tour called the Hit List Tour. We started in Vancouver and went all the way to Halifax, Nova Scotia. We didn't do the Newfoundland this time around.
Okay.
But there was 26 shows in basically, I think, 30 days. So it was a pretty heavy tour. And it was basically all the, you know, CCMA guys. A lot of the award-winning guys were members of the band. Like, we had Steve Broadhurst, who's with Doc Walker, and Brent Perrin, who's with Doc Walker. And then another fellow named Denny Dufresne, who won Fiddler of the Year. He plays with a duo called Pear,
mm-hmm.
with his wife. And yeah, it was a fun band, and of course all the artists, like Dean Brody is one of my favorites. I tour with him now on a regular basis.
Yeah.
And I've worked with Derek Rattan in the past. He's one of my good buddies. He was actually at my place on the Miramichi a long time ago, before he was the Derek Rattan that we all know.
Yeah.
He was just a guitar player in a band. And then Aaron Lyons, of course, is one of my best friends. We've hung out for a long time, and I've produced his records now and stuff. And so it was a real blast. It was we thought initially going on to that tour that it might be a bit taxing to do an entire tour like that one and not really have a break, but everybody held up really well. Everybody's in good shape and took care of themselves, and it was a lot of fun. It turned out to be a real hit, you know, hit show.
Yeah, it looked like fun because I've been following, I follow that tour with you and the guys on Facebook.
Yeah, and it's so fun.
And it seemed like you guys were having a blast.
We really were having a blast, and I don't know if you caught on to it or not, but we had a little game on the tour bus that if you left your phone unattended or your computer unattended and you were logged into Facebook, that we would do things to your status, say things. You know, we kept it clean because there was people watching, but we'd say funny little things, you know, like. So I don't know if you caught on to that game or not, but if you watch Doc Walker from now on, they're on a tour right now.
Okay.
You'll see funny little status updates that obviously aren't their own. Like, you'll see Chris. Chris is he's an easy target. He often leaves his computer unattended, so Stephen Broadhurst, the drummer in that band, will go on and say how much Chris loves Steve Broadhurst, for example. You know, so it's pretty comical at times. So that was quite the game. Everybody had their phones in their pockets at all times, and you know, password protected. It was quite fun.
Now, how did you get, like, going back to your early days, growing up,
yep.
How did you get into music? Was it, like, a family thing, or?
Yeah, all of my family play and sing, for the exception of my oldest sister and my mom. They, neither of those two play or sing, and can't, even if they wanted to, which is kind of funny. But my dad was, you know, a really great player and played a lot over the years, and, you know, he's kind of, you know, very popular in that neck of the woods and the East Coast, and people knew who he was and stuff. And my family, they had a little band that they would play around for hootenannies and stuff like that, and it was called the Berry Family, obviously.
Mm-hmm.
But I was too young to be a part of that. And by the time that I came along, I'm the baby of the family, so by the time that I came along, it was already sort of ran its course. It was done.
Okay.
Yeah.
Now, you said that you worked with Terry Clark, Jason Blaine, and a newcomer, TB, right?
TB, yeah. That's
yes.
Right, yeah.
Okay. Now, what's it like working with new artists like Shane Chisholm and so on?
Oh, well, Shane I've known for years.
Mm-hmm.
as a bass player. We used to play together in Ontario bar bands before we started doing all this other kind of stuff, like when we were just younger guys, you know. Shane's a great guy. I worked a little bit on that record. I think I mixed and recorded a few of those tunes on that album. And of course, it was a lot of fun because we're all friends.
Okay.
And who is the other person you mentioned? Tebe, right?
Yes.
So now Tebe's been in the business for a long time. He's a songwriter. He's written for just about everybody, including One More Girl's latest single and a few others. You know, so he's been around a long time, and he was an artist. He was out and signed about 10 years ago. And he had a song called Man to Man, which is a big hit song then. But he got so caught up in writing and kept getting publishing deals as a writer. It became his mainstay, and he just kind of put his singing career on the back burner. And then he just approached me one day and said, I want to do it again, and I want to do it with you. And I said, well, let's do it. So then there it is, and now he's got a record. And he's released a single, I think, and it's doing quite well, as far as I understand. I haven't talked to him in the last couple of weeks, but it seems to be doing real well.
Okay. Now, I read back, and it said, well, it was your biography, and it said that you did a movie appearance.
Yeah, with Margot Kidder and Jason Priestley. There was a movie called Chicks with Sticks.
Okay.
And they needed a musician. And, of course, I fall into that category, so they asked me to do it, and I was playing in Alberta at the time.
Mm-hmm.
They asked me if I would mind being in this movie, so I went to this shoot, and it was pretty neat, you know, because Margot Kidder was, you know, the other lead in Superman, which is a classic, you know.
Yeah.
And Jason Priestley, of course, is in all those movies and those shows like 90210 and stuff. So it was just kind of fun to be a part of that and see that. I haven't done too much of that kind of stuff, movies and so on. I've done a lot of TV, but not big features, you know, movies and so on. So it's quite an experience. It was a lot of fun.
Would you do it again?
I would do it again. Hopefully it wouldn't take as long to do, but I would certainly do it again, especially with someone like Margot Kidder and Jason Priestley. They were really, really wonderful people and really nice to us. So.
Okay, now you have three small kids, right?
I do, yes.
Now, how do you keep them, like, do you keep them out of the limelight?
Like, yeah, well, I'm a fairly private person.
Okay.
My name's not in the book. You'll see that I don't sort of have my email or anything like that on my website. It's not because I don't like people. It's just I try to keep under the radar a bit, and it's because of that. I want my children to not be exposed to any sort of controversy or any kind of strangeness, because sometimes fans can be really, really friendly, and that might come across as scary to the young ones, you know, the kids and stuff, especially when they're small.
Yeah.
Now, when they get a little older, they'll go, oh, okay, it's just a country music fan, you know, it's just, it'll be great, and probably by then I'll be more active as far as advertisements and just sort of letting people know who I am, but it tends to figure itself out, like, we know each other, but it's because we're both in the industry and all that kind of stuff, you know,
yeah.
So you tend to know about what I do, and I keep tabs on what you guys are doing, and that's how I like it. It's just sort of, just to keep it nice and simple, you know, and nobody, and generally the public are not that concerned with the producers and the guitar players, you know, they're more geared to the artists, and rightly so, because they're the people that are making, you know, the singing, the music, and all that kind of stuff, and that keeps me out of the way.
Yeah, yeah, it's true. Now, I like to ask this to a lot of people that I interview.
Uh-huh.
What do you like to do to relax and unwind when you're absolutely doing no music, recording whatsoever, or touring?
Yeah, well, there's a few little things I like to do. I have, I have my friends, of course, who I hang out with, and some of my friends are older than I am, but I like that better. I think I'm more comfortable with older people than I am with younger. It always seems to be too competitive or something.
Oh, we're in the same boat here.
Yeah, I just find that more relaxing, and I also, you know, I like outdoors. I like being, you know, in woodsy areas. I love to fish or something like that. It just calms me down. It keeps me quiet, and playing with my kids always turns all the outside world off pretty quick. I just kind of, when I'm with them, it's just, that's what I do. I'm just with them, and it's a lot of fun, and just turns that what I do off. I'm just dad, you know, just simple. I don't have to be anybody but dad, so that helps turn that off.
Yeah, that's true, eh?
Mm-hmm.
Now, whereabouts in, well, Ontario do you live? Do you live in the Waterloo area near your studios, or?
Yeah, I live in the Waterloo neck, and my studio is really close to my home, and so I just basically can walk there, and it's great, you know, I just in that neck of the woods. I've been there a long time now, so it's great. I love it there.
And I also read that you're planning to retire and go back to New Brunswick?
Well, I'm building a place now in New Brunswick. I bought some land out there, and then it's next door to my folks where they are now.
Okay.
So we're just going to build there and then eventually retire there, you know, as time goes on. I have these grandiose dreams of getting my pilot's license and flying people in and taking them fishing as an older person, you know. So I'm hoping that's just always been a little, you know, fantasy. Hopefully that'll happen. But, you know, with the young ones, you're always thinking, what kind of retirement plan can you really have when you want to set up the future for the little ones, too. So
yeah.
I always joke with my other buddies. I always say I'm on the Freedom 100 plan now because I have I have children. So you can retire, but you always sort of want to keep the chain going and keep things moving along for them. Like, I certainly wouldn't want to put the kids, you know, in 5 years when they're just still growing in their character and all that stuff, to put them in isolation in a place like where I grew up. It was very isolated, and it's very country. So, and there's nothing wrong with that, but I mean, there is a lot of culture to be found in cities within reason, as long as you keep them, you know, careful with what they see and all that kind of stuff.
Okay.
As much as you can. Yeah.
Now, has any one of them shown a musical interest?
Yeah, two of them have, and one's too little to yet. But my two girls certainly have. They both sing and play. My oldest plays guitar and sings and plays piano, and like she'll come in and just start playing the piano all of a sudden in the house, and she's just doing it all by ear. I'm not pushing it. I'm not saying, oh, you should go take lessons and become a star. I'm just going to let them do what they do and see where it goes. And the little girl, who's only four, sings all the time. If you turn on the radio, she knows every word to every country song that's out there now. And she has no idea. Like, she sees Jason Blaine and all these guys and on a regular basis, and she has really no idea that they're celebrities. She just calls them by their first name. And it was funny. Jason was, I just did Jason Blaine's last record, and he was in, and he came in for supper and after we had tracked for the day. And I played, you know, my wife and my oldest and Kathleen, who's the four-year-old, the song, and I go, what do you think, guys? And usually the right thing to say is, oh, I really like it. It's catchy, you know, something, say something positive. And my little one is very honest. She goes, I don't like it. Jason was taken aback. It was really funny. It was a funny moment. That's what kids say.
Oh, gee.
Yeah.
Now, on behalf of Canadian A Country on CJMQ 88.9 FM, we thank you, Jason.
Thank you, guys. I really appreciate it.
No problem.